will just ask, can all commissioners see and hear?
Yes.
Thumbs up? Thumbs up? Yep. Okay.
Okay. Can all members of the public see and hear? Is that an issue? I'm not...
Can't tell if they're thumbs up or not because they're muted. So.
All right. So I'm going to hope they are. I call the October 20th, 2020 regular board meeting of Glencoe Park District to order. Lisa, please call the roll and note the time.
Excellent. It's 7:02. Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Covey? Commissioner Ludden? Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
Commissioner Onderdonk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes.
Okay. Good.
All righty. Consent agenda items A through D are routine. Can I get a recommended motion here? Does any commissioner want any item pulled from the consent agenda items?
No.
Yeah. No.
No.
Okay, I entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda items as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Covey? Commissioner Covey?
From you, yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
Commissioner Onderdonk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Motion passes. All right, we will move to matters from the public. It's our practice not to address questions at this time. However, we will take comments under advisement. Is there anyone who would like to make a verbal comment? If so, please limit comments to 3 minutes per person. And Lisa, is this also continuing if you have emails that people have requested that you share?
No, we because they have the opportunity to come in person to the meeting or do it Zoom, those are the requirements we have to meet.
So we no longer are doing, okay, very good. So are there any comments from the public? All right, so I will take that as a no, and we will move on to the financial report. 7 months of the fiscal year are complete, and Carol will now provide a synopsis of the report. Carol?
Included in your board packet is the typical three-year comparison. Given the COVID year we're having, again, it's really hard to make a comparison to the prior 2 years. I would like to take special note of the daycare program that actually is within the $107,000 grant in that department. The revenues are pretty much the exact same as last year at this time. Net surplus, you can see they're up over $96,000. So kudos to the daycare department continuing despite this COVID time that we're all in. The boating and bathing beach, you know, with the new season pass holders only, we weren't quite sure what that was going to look like as of the end of September. You can see that we're not that far off from last year at this time when we did do a full regular beach season. Right now, we're, as of the end of September, 56,000 to the positive. With the remaining 5 months, I'm hopeful that we can at least break even at the beach. That would, again, be another kudos to be able to do this in the time of COVID. So really looking well in both of those areas. You know, recreation, we had our second fall registration last Friday. Should show some improvement, hopefully, but again, depends on, you know, depending on if we go back and have to shut things down. But so far, we've been lucky in that regard and hoping to make some improvements here the latter part of our fall season with programs. So I will open it up to any questions that you might have. I also did want to point out, and I know I did mention this in discussions in the last week, related to the financial position that we had budgeted really conservatively for that second installment of tax receipts to be around 80%, and in reality, we did receive 100% of that second installment. So that meant an additional $400,000 to $500,000 that really in the earlier projections we weren't counting on. So again, a good positive thing financially for the district.
Thank you for being so conservative.
I have a quick question.
My middle name, yes.
It is. Carol, I have a quick question. The beach department showed an expense total from this year to last higher. Is what would be the explanation as to why the beach expense was higher?
Right,
a lot more staffing.
Yeah, I can probably address that one, Carl, if you want.
Okay, go ahead, Bobby.
So if the hours were adjusted 9 to 9 instead of traditional 10 to 6 or 10 to 7, additional park ambassadors were in there, those were significant, well over $30,000. So the season being extended through the end of September, we saw a significant increase in staff, mostly labor costs, although we did cut some kind of what we thought were non-essential supply costs, contractual, we were pretty trimmed there, but it was all labor costs for the additional stuff.
And boating expense was lower. What would be the reason for that?
Well, the park ambassadors wouldn't have come out of the boating. They would have come out of the bathing beach.
Got it.
So we cut our labor cost probably in half with seasonal staff there. We went down to, we weren't doing boater assistance for the first couple of weeks, for 3 or 4 weeks. And then when we would normally have maybe 5 or 6 staff members, we were down to 2 or 3. We were very lean this summer.
Our seasonal spring beach cleanup cost almost double as well this year with the storms that we had.
Mm-hmm.
So that was significant equipment rentals and dumpsters and things of that nature, which has an impact in that number as well.
Yeah, as soon as they got it cleaned, another storm would hit, and that happened twice. So.
Oh, yeah. Remember that now.
And that's assigned to the beach, which makes sense, and I don't know about that, but there you go.
Exactly. And the
great. Thank you. That was very helpful. Who has other questions for Carol? Go ahead, Dudley.
Okay. Carol, you said that we got a grant. Was that federal or state money that came through, and did we have to apply for it specifically?
Yes, that was secured by Jessica Sockel and Bobby Collins related to the daycare department, and it had to do with operational and lost revenue. And I don't remember the entity that we got it from, Bobby.
It was the state of Illinois. I believe it was underneath the DCEO.
Is that a big grant?
What is
this interruption grant, a big grant? Is that it?
No, it was specifically for early childhood. Around $250 million was appropriated for it. So it's through the state of Illinois, but I believe it was through the DCEO.
I just wanted to say thank you for applying for these grants. They're really making a difference.
They are.
But next time, get the whole $250 million.
So demanding.
Good feedback.
Yeah, make a note of that, Chris, please. Okay, if there is nothing else, where we are. Okay, we will move on to staff reports, and we will begin with business, and that is Carol.
Yeah, I really don't have a whole lot to add to what's already been added. We're really starting off, we did the projection of current year budget. We're starting off really a kickoff tomorrow for our fiscal year 21-22 budget, just really working on that and the capital. We did a tour, and I'm sure Chris will talk about that later for our Fund 65 items, but really it's just become the emphasis on the budget and trying to plan as best we can in the midst of a pandemic.
And are there any questions for Carol? Carol, can I ask you a question completely unrelated to what you just said, but related to what you do professionally?
Absolutely.
I saw something in the minutes from last time, and I just made a note of it, that we have a $4.3 million is the amount of the offering for the GeoBot, and we received on October 7th $4.5 million. I have a sense of what that difference is. I'm sure you've explained it to us in the past, but I can't understand exactly the explanation for that.
It's a premium on the offering that's incorporated through the underwriting process with Piper Sandler. And so they build it to the pricing, and so we actually get a premium on the par amount of our bond.
Oh, that's nice. Thank you, Carol. I that wasn't my guess, but thank you so much.
Sure.
Okay, and I apologize.
Is that sort of a bonus transaction incentive or something?
Somewhat. It's related to the pricing and the market, related to the underwriting and the marketing of those bonds to the potential investors.
Does it kind of balance out the cost of putting it out there? Is that...
I don't know if you can still pay it back.
Yeah, it's built into the price.
It's built into the price. It's not like it's...
It's 4.335. Yeah, that we're paying back as principal.
Yeah. And we received 4.5.
Correct. 4502600 to be exact.
Yes.
Your interest rate is it's incorporated in as part of the interest. So like what you are paying because Carol is a rock star.
Not really.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with me.
And has good financial wisdom out there, right? It puts us at a higher, we're less risky, so people are willing to give us more money, and therefore we still end up paying that back in interest payments.
Do you confirm that, Carol? We still end up paying that back?
Ultimately, the rate is affected by that, yes, but we're still getting more than the par amount of the bonds, which is the principal that we're paying back. It's built into the interest side of it.
Got it. Okay, now I get it. Okay.
We're still paying back more than $4.5 million because of interest.
Okay, any other questions about that scintillating little tributary? None? Okay. Then, Rec and Facilities, Bobby Collins.
Carol already discussed we had registration for the second part of Fall Go Live last week. To be honest with you, it was okay, but I think the community's head was elsewhere with all that was going on in the schools. Those programs don't start till November, as I'm sure everybody knows. Central had a closure last week, and then South closed for the next 2 weeks. So I think the community was very busy. We had decent enrollment, but I expect to see a little bit more in the next week or two as we get closer to that. Stephanie and the team worked Saturday to roll out our contingency plan for if we had a school closure for our kids above enrichment camp. So we were able to roll out a full-day program for all of those families. And I will tell you, the positive, supportive thank you emails we received were really, really awesome. Made all the hard work worth it. They let us know how valuable that program is to their families and the relief. So we have for the next 2 weeks, private school is remote. We have extra staff in. We've moved some cohorts here to take it. And then we'll pivot as things continue to change. We're continuing to watch what's going on with the state. Things look like they're going in a slightly negative direction right now, so staff is working on contingency plans, looking at how do we keep things going, how do we make sure people stay safe. And as things evolve, we'll keep adapting. Does anyone have any questions for me?
I have a few questions for Children's Circle. So, 77 children, what's the increase on our wait list, Beth? I feel like it was in the 40s.
It was about the same last year.
Is it around the same?
Yeah, it was about the same. We tend to close off the wait list when it gets to the point where we absolutely know none of those participants are getting into the program.
And then this year we have sea lions, and last year we didn't. What age group are the sea lions?
I'd have to check exactly. We created that in the last two or three, Aaron might know. I think it's straight after infants. We created it because of the ratios with DCFS and the state guidelines. So I can't remember exactly which. I think it's like the slightly older jellyfish.
Tadpoles is the upgrade from jellyfish for the older jellies. And sea lions are the younger belugas, because my son's
there
a beluga and my daughter's a jelly. So the tadpoles are like 11 to 15 months, as opposed to 6 weeks to 15 months. See, I knew that. That's pretty exciting, right?
My son's in tadpoles.
Yeah.
For clarity, I actually made a note on this report that it would be very helpful in the future if you actually just put age range. Now I see that everybody's confused. Just age range.
Yeah, we can absolutely add that. I think that would be helpful for us, too.
Yeah, I think it would. What else do you have, Stephanie?
That's it. I have my same comment that I've made for a year and a half now, that it makes me sad that we have 77 people that are knocking on our door for services. And I understand we're in COVID, so there's no way that we can do anything. But when we see that light at the end of the tunnel, I'd like to come back and address, you know, other opportunities that we would have. But clearly, in the short term, probably the midterm, there's not much we can do. But 77 people is just a lot. And that's cut off, you said, Bobby?
It's not right now, but we as we'll go on, we will cut it off as we get more inquiries.
You guys are just too good.
The team, it's the teachers.
Yeah.
Bobby, are the infants that are coming into the program, are those still siblings of previous children? Is that still? So we're never getting any we're not bringing any in families.
Occasionally, I'd have to check with Jeff, but occasionally where somebody doesn't take the spot and the age opens up, if you're on the list, the timing has to be very right for you to be able to get in. But yeah, you're right.
Erin got in and she had to wait through the list, so, you know.
Yeah.
She was a new parent, so.
The good news with the infants, it does clear it out every single year because they graduate so quickly.
Right. But the new infants that come in are not, so they're not siblings of kids who are already in the program. These are
some are.
They get priority over non-current families.
Sure. Sure. Okay. All right. More questions for Bobby?
I saw for the registration that you didn't release signing up for ice skating instruction. I've had a lot of questions on that. Do you have a date I can give people?
We're hoping to, I think it's a Friday, Adam. Adam's on the call. I think Friday is when the email's going out. As long as we don't go backwards with the date.
Stephanie, I'll follow up with you on that one.
Okay. I'm getting texts right now.
All the information the passes go live at the same time, so we'll have some more information on that. The turnaround was a little tight with the fall brochure, second fall brochure.
I hope are your friends on our email list?
Yeah, and I checked the website for them when someone asked me today, and I didn't see a date, so.
Yeah, if they're on their email list, they'll get an email on it, too.
Okay.
So I'll confirm with you.
Okay, if there is nothing more for Bobby, we will move to Parks and Maintenance. Chris Liner.
Thank you. A few things going on. Right now, we're working on winterizing our park water systems, drinking fountains, bathrooms, the beach house, things like that. Even though the fountains weren't on, we did turn the dog bowls on. So all those systems do need to be shut down. We're wrapping up fall athletics. We're likely going to be done with baseball and soccer by the second week of November. So that's getting wrapped up here. We are in full-blown watch seasonal prep right now. So they have a skating event here this week that we're out on the rink clearing leaves and getting it ready for the event. Also catching up on some fall landscaping, just things that were delayed in the spring, chips in the parks, things like that, dead tree removal. You may see trees with green dots on them in the park district. We've done significant health evaluation of quite a few trees and we're prepared for our winter removals. In addition, we just upgraded our BAS system at the Takeoff Center, which is our automated building system. So very exciting that our computerized system is up to date. I have a few construction updates for our projects. Lisa, would you like me to do that now or later?
Yeah.
So you've been down on Old Green Bay Road. Things are really kicking. We've got about 85% of our trail cut in. We've completed the air excavation of the root systems of the major oak trees as well as a few other trees as well. So we were very judicious in trying to preserve the health of those trees as much as possible. We'll likely be following up with some fertilizing treatments here as well as we end the season just to help protect those trees. The Duke Park project is moving ahead at full steam. We're expecting to have our port in place installed in the next 2 weeks. We're just waiting now on components. Our train cars are being made, our interactive fountain, as well as our runnel system. So the park is proceeding nicely, shooting for an end of December completion of the entire project. So very good in that regard. The trail in itself is moving along. I did notate in my board memo that the contractor is 10 days behind schedule. They do have a $1,475 a day fine for not finishing on time. So it is likely that we will be able to use some of that money to offset some of the costs for things that have come up along the way, because IDOT will absolutely be charging them that fine, and they've built that into their project. In addition, we're just wrapping things up at the overlook. The retaining wall was repaired by the halfway house, and we've got the additional fortifications in on the hill, the bluff, excuse me, and plantings have gone in. They're just finishing final cleaning and top pointing. So turned out to be a fairly painless project. It was a nail biter going into it, putting those piles in adjacent to the village's water, main water transmission lines was a nail biter for all of us, but we got it done. So it's a good project. Thank you. Any questions?
I've got a question.
Yes, Dudley.
Chris, I saw in your report you're doing some survey work up on the bluff. What's going on up there?
That's a good call. So as in preparation for year one of our master plan bond-funded projects, we are preparing surveys of all the bluffs. In particular, right now staff is doing trimming of the area around the boathouse stairs. We're looking to get the most accurate surveys that we can, because we've run into some trouble in the past with surveys not being accurate in that area, because it's very difficult to survey because it's on a hill. So we're cutting back the brush, and we're going to be providing those surveys to our consultants to start our projects once we approve those contracts. So by taking the cost of the survey out of the professional service agreements, we don't pay markup on it. So we contract the surveys directly with the surveyor, so we don't have to pay a markup to the architect for them.
Interesting.
Thank you.
When are those stairs going in, Chris?
Excuse me?
When are those stairs expected to go in?
Well, we're shooting for completion in the spring. It's likely that we'll be bringing a contract for professional services to the board for approval next month.
Yeah.
It's going to be a very tight turnaround. As we know, sailing is much better in the fall, so there will likely be some construction down there in the spring, so we'll have to coordinate around that, but definitely would like to have that in for this season, this coming season.
Yeah. Any other questions for Chris? Okay, marketing.
Thank you.
And, thanks, Chris. Marketing and communications, Erin.
I don't have much to add beyond our report. We did do a lot to make sure the website was ready for our registration last Friday. We've kind of changed how we input things, but it's still a little bit convoluted to find stuff. So hope it was a little bit better this time. Working on it.
Are you still looking at the whole revamp of the website? I know we talk about that probably every other meeting, but I guess I never really understand when it's going to happen.
We're actually hoping to talk about it at our next meeting.
Yeah, the November 4th committee meeting, we're going to talk about it.
Yeah, very good. Okay, any questions for Erin?
I don't have a question, but I want to commend Erin, because I got some feedback from fellow resident about how clear all the signage around our parks is, about all the changes we've had to our programs and the new programs, that they're both attractive and informative and not confusing. So kudos.
And a lot of it is actually Kathy Stokel, our graphic designer, who is retiring.
Tragic.
She is retiring at the end of next week.
Well, here's to finding a replacement who's just as good.
I think it's me for a while.
Keep her on contract.
Exactly.
Spotlight's on you then, Erin. Okay. Thanks for that, Josh. That's always good to hear. Safety, and unless there's anything more for Erin. Thank you, Erin. We will move on to safety and wellness. Carol and Chris, committee co-chairs, what have you got?
I think, Carol, the only major update was receiving the check for Pederma for half a pier for $69,000. So that's going to go towards making that repair. And then I believe we're going to get another $55,000 once the repair is complete. So that's going to help to fund that project.
We've obviously in our operations had a reduced workers' comp, reduced claims generally for all of Pederma agencies that they're seeing through this pandemic. We did have a meeting with our rep, Tim, just to go through just operationally our facilities. And, you know, for us, we're kind of operating as we have done in the past, you know, obviously not offering the full load of our programs, but compared to how some of our districts are operating and the feedback from Tim, I think it was a very positive phone call. I don't know if you want to say anything about the fixed asset?
Yeah. Pederma is in the process of updating the fixed asset inventory for the entire membership. One of the things that's kind of come up in the last few years is there are park districts out there who have not been judicious like we have about managing their fixed asset inventory, and they've done things like torn down 100,000 square foot community centers and not sold Pederma, which from the insurance background is not a good place for you to be. To be adding facilities into your membership that you don't know about or that don't exist anymore and you're still paying to insure them. So they're in the process of basically reevaluating the entire membership. We know that there's not going to be a surprise community center in our evaluation, but there are districts out there that might have those. So.
And they're starting that next week, Chris?
Yeah. So based on the fact that our district is really open for business, other districts, they're really still closed, so they're kind of leery about that kind of stuff, but our staff is going to work with them and make sure there's no interruptions to program as they come out and evaluate our inventory.
Does that mean that at some point there could be if they took members out, would our rates go up at some point because of that, or that won't be affected?
They won't kick members out. They want to make sure their asset inventory is correct.
But it could mean that the assets are, there's more assets in the inventory.
Overstated. Overstated or less assets.
I would imagine the insurance rates for brand new buildings are probably quite a bit less than old rundown, you know, as part of it.
Right. Okay. Anything else for Chris and Carol? Thank you, everyone. So moving on from staff reports, moving to the executive director report, Lisa Shepherd, please review the items in your report.
All right. So just if you haven't been down to Old Green Bay Road, I would highly recommend you get down there. It's amazing all the progress that has been made. So I know Chris talked about it, so I'm not going to go into great length to discuss that. I do want to give you an update on the food cottage on progress. It looks like they're a little bit delayed because of COVID. It's like they think they'll finish the exterior renovations by the middle of December. So it's kind of online with our trail project. So I would anticipate middle to end of December. They've really picked up a lot of work, started working out there in the last couple of days, so they have all their permits and things like that. So you'll see a lot of work happening now there. So their deadline was December 1st, but because of COVID, they were delayed about a month. So I will keep you up to date. I told them that the board really wants them to be finished by the first of the year at the latest, that they weren't able to meet their original deadline of COVID. The other thing that's not in my report, and I will put it in the November committee packet so you see it have more information, but the impact fees for the Hoover Estate have been approved by the village, and so I will include it all in the next committee report. I just wanted to let you know because it's in the paper and they approved it, and so you'll see that information coming forward for your information for that. The one thing that kudos to Bobby and his whole team for pivoting once again and getting more programs up for working parents so that schools transition to total remote, we are able to accommodate those children and hopefully in the future more if needed. We are looking at Glencoe Fitness as it gets cooler outside, more people are coming inside to exercise. We did have a request from one of our members that there could be a mask time so that everybody who's in the fitness center has to wear a mask. So we're going to continue that. In a day that's not really popular, but we'll have a time for that. So less population there, and then people have to require to wear a mask for that hour of fitness bar. So look for that coming through. The beach finished fairly successfully. I always say when you have a successful season for our beaches that no one was injured or hurt. So we had a very successful season thanks to Matt and his team working diligently on that throughout the season. Other than that, recap of some of the donations we had for benches, little libraries, trees, and such. So Aaron did a great job advertising for our potential opportunities to make donations, and Jenny has been doing a phenomenal job taking the calls and answering probably for every bench about 20 phone calls. So it's not as simple as like, I want a bench, here's my money. She goes back and forth with the donors on that. So kudos to her and Aaron for getting the word out on that. So we just got noticed that the iPerry conference is going virtual, which is really no surprise to any of us. And we will not be sending any staff. I'll be attending just because as my role on the iPerry board. So we might have it open for any staff to come in and listen to those tracks and things like that. We will have to choose a representative to attend the IAPE meeting. I am happy to do that as a representative of the board, and that will also be virtual. So the IAPE meeting will be at the beginning of conference, the IAPE will be at the end. So other than that, I think everybody covered everything else. Do you have any questions?
Lisa, why did I think you were on the IAPB board?
I'm on the IPRA board.
IPRA board. Okay.
Yes.
I was hoping we killed two birds with one stone.
Yeah. Nope, IPRA. So I'll be attending both meetings, so.
Got it.
Okay.
I have two questions and one comment.
All right, ready.
Okay, one question. So I didn't add it up, and I think it's over. So in the in-progress total for the donations, that's separate from the three lines of us?
Benny, can you answer that?
I'm trying to remember. Okay. Hold on.
Yeah.
Sorry. Forgot I was on mute. Say that again. The in progress was the third one down.
So it's there's four totals. It looks like the in progress is separate from those other two. So there's $20,000 in progress.
Yes.
That's correct. Okay. Because they don't go into the totals until the project starts. Money changes hands.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't include anyone I've talked to, but isn't kind of like locked in. They haven't chosen an item yet, so.
Well, that's a great total for the year. That
sure is.
I mean, 8,000 above our highest year, and that's just great, especially for this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's some great opportunities, some fun opportunities out there for people to donate to.
Don't you think there may be more interest once these assets are in place? Then people see what they are and go, oh, I'd like to sponsor that. You know, so I think even after I would think, you know, people then have a visual idea of what it is they're putting their little plaque on and what they're sponsoring. So it could be that we can get donations after the fact. So,
okay. And then on the Hoover Estate, you said we'd be getting information. In that information, will it include what is parkland?
We actually did not accept any parkland. So we accepted only monetary donation. They wanted to give us a little piece of land in the middle of their cul-de-sac that was full of oak trees, which is beautiful, but it has no recreational value and a lot of maintenance component. So we denied taking that piece of land, which now the neighborhood will have to maintain. Still be there, but they're going to have to maintain it because there's enough recreational value. So we rejected any donation a land in lieu of cash. But, you know,
if it was a right of way, right?
It's in the middle of the cul-de-sac. Yeah.
Hmm. You know, since this came through the plan commission, yeah, the island with the trees in it in the middle, it's not exactly a cul-de-sac. Let's call it an island. We will not get the money until they actually come in for the permits for the individual houses. That's my understanding.
Correct. I'll give you all that information.
Yeah.
I'll give you all that information at the November meeting. I just want to let you know that was finalized and you'll be seeing that information soon. You know, we can talk about it more detail.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I just wanted to also compliment Bobby and Stephanie because it was, I didn't expect as I'm part of that program that we would have an answer for that Monday, for yesterday, and we did. And that's just amazing. I mean, even the school is not fully organized and in their full plan until tomorrow morning. So it was really amazing that we could just send the kids, they're there for the same amount of hours, and it's really helpful. So thank you.
I just say Stephanie worked all day Saturday. We already had a contingency plan, and we had talked about it all last week because we had a feeling something like that was coming. But she spent all day Saturday working on the plan, staffing. Then she spent all day Sunday communicating with parents, finalizing the details, and then she was here early Monday morning with Adam and a couple of others. So the whole team pitched in, but Stephanie did a phenomenal job.
And thank you on behalf of the residents and all the participants in that program for making it such an affordable program to participate in. The incremental cost of adding those extra hours was extremely low, and I think it's a great service to the community, and I really appreciate that.
Thank you. Yeah, we went back and forth on that, and we decided that was
great. Sure you did.
Yeah.
Okay, more for Lisa. No? Alrighty. I can't see everybody in my scheme. I gotta get a better view.
Michael, do you have a question? No? Are you just waving?
I was waving to see if I moved, maybe my screen would get in front of Lisa Brooks.
Oh, there's too far. Yeah, I thought you were in a bathrobe, so thank you. Okay, so we are moving to action items. I entertain a motion to approve resolution number 917, Truth in Taxation, as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Okay, roll call vote, please.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Mr. Covey?
Yes.
Mr. Ludden?
Yes.
Mr. Underdunk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Motion passes. I entertain a motion to approve resolution number 919, an intergovernmental and subrecipient agreement for coronavirus relief funds with Cook County, Illinois, as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Question on this one?
Yeah, discussion.
So this is a $5,000 grant. This is by far, I think, the most paperwork per dollar that I've ever seen. But can you just give a little background as to what this is?
It's from Cook County giving really dollars to governmental agencies. Really, that's it. And they are requiring a lot of paperwork for this. So
yeah,
we had approved that we spent money for COVID relief, such as PPEs and our plexiglass throughout the building.
I just wasn't it more for special districts, Lisa, which was kind of excluded.
Yeah,
they did find it school up with a lot of money for fire protection districts, library districts, and park districts. I think. Is there? Because once I saw how many pages, I stopped reading this. Are there any hooks to this? Do we owe them any? Is this like free and clear?
It's free and clear. We just had to prove that we spent $5,000 worth of money.
Got it.
So out of curiosity,
you guys went after every penny. I like it.
Out of curiosity, how much did you spend? Wouldn't that be?
They provide all the templates and everything like that, so there was no attorney costs or anything about.
Oh no, no. I'm wondering. $5,000 represents a percentage of the actual cost of PPE and plexiglass and all the sort of.
Oh. Let's just say the plexiglass, I think itself, was at least covered partially by the $5,000. We spent more, and we actually are submitting it all in case that agencies don't submit and then maybe give us more than the $5,000. So we erred on the side of sending everything.
The plexiglass was $5,260.
There you go. And that's not even the fitness center. So.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay, but better, you know.
Meanwhile, they're just one another 45 man minutes.
Exactly. Okay, on that note, I entertain a motion to approve the Ultima New Incorporated contract for the
We have to do a roll call on that one.
Oh, I didn't. Oh, our discussion.
Sorry, I moved this to discussion because I want to make sure we weren't selling something. I want to make sure we weren't on the hook for something for $5,000.
No. Okay, so, apologies. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdonk?
Yes.
Commissioner Colby?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Motion passes. Now I entertain a motion to approve the Ultima New Incorporated contract for the amount of $36,455 for design services related to the Cock Park Phase 2 as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Is there any discussion?
Yes, I want to thank staff for working with me on the sustainability elements of the contract, and hopefully we'll have some good ideas.
Thank you, Dudley. Anything else? All right, then. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Underdonk?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
Commissioner Colby?
Yes.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes, motion passes. I entertain a motion to approve moving the regular committee meeting to Wednesday, November 4th, due to the election day scheduled on November 3rd, as presented.
So moved.
Second. Any discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Mr. Covey?
Yes.
Mr. Ludden?
Yes.
Mr. Underdonk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Okay, would any commissioner like to discuss these minutes in closed session?
So I presented, it was sent to you, the ones that the 1 minute we're releasing from confidential, and then the list of that are being. So if you can approve those out of closed session, but if you'd like to discuss them, we'd have to go into closed session.
Okay, I do not. Does anybody else? Should we just do a little? Does anyone want to?
No, I reviewed them.
Okay. No one else? Then I entertain a motion to approve and release from confidentiality executive session minutes, including May 19, 2020, and approve audio for destruction from executive session minutes, including November 13, 2018, February 19, 2019, March 5, 2019, and April 2nd, 2019, as mandated by 5 ILCS 120/2 C21 as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Any discussion?
Is this, just for my own understanding here, is this something that we typically do to move minutes from, this is a normal course of business?
Yes, we have to review them. We're required by law to review them. And then, so if they're no longer confidential, potential, like this one was, the business was already approved in open session, we can release them, or you can choose to keep them. So this is normal. And then we're allowed to destroy any audio as long as there's not anything involving court,
yep.
Live every 18 months. So.
Okay. Thank you for the information. No, I was curious about that.
Very good. Anything else? All right. Roll call vote, please.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Mr. Ludden?
Yes.
Mr. Covey?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdonk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Motion passed. Is there other business, Lisa?
I have no other business, but we do need to go into closed session.
Ah, okay. All righty then. The board will now enter closed session where no action will be taken. I entertain a motion that pursuant to
Section 5 ILCS 120/2 of the Open Meetings Act, the board will enter closed session to discuss personnel as mandated by Section 2.065 ILCS 120/2C1.
So moved.
Second. Okay. Those present during executive session will include all commissioners, Lisa Shepherd, Carol Mensinger, and Chris Liner. Can you just do the so moved and second again?
So moved.
Yeah.
Any discussion? Okay. And Lisa Shepherd, note the time and do a roll call vote, please.
Hey, 7:47, sorry. Commissioner Boren?
Yeah.
Commissioner Covey?
Yes. Yeah.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdonk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes, motion passes. So stop the recorder, switch the card, and start the recorder.
All right, so we are going to put anybody who would like to.
Yes, okay, so we will. Here we go. I entertain a motion to return to open session.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? No. Lisa, please note the time and do a roll call vote, please.
8:24, Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Covey?
Yep.
Mr. Ludden?
Yes.
Mr. Underdonk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes, motion passes. Let's see here.
Adjourn.
So I think we're ready. I entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Roll call vote, please.
Mr. Boren?
Yes.
Mr. Covey?
Yes.
Mr. Ludden?
Yes.
Mr. Underdonk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes, motion passes.
Woohoo! Thank you all so much. I appreciate your time tonight.